The following program is a paid production of Mike Novak, LLC. The opinions, rants, confessions, and lame jokes presented are not necessarily the views of WCPT or its parent corporation, NewsWeb Radio.
If you've got a green thumb, and by the way, if you do, I know a specialist, you'll really marvel at how simple a tool this is, and it can really save you hours of back-breaking work. Let's see. I'm about 100 yards off the green here. I'll try a five weasel. No more weeding on your hands and knees. You just gently glide your weasel. And by the way, it's been years since I've said that. You just glide the weasel in between your, let's say, plants. Look, Ma, I'm making valuable mulch. Oh. Hello, Mr. Hoffa. The blades are removable for easy cleaning. And the patented tilling action digs deep into the soil and aerates all the way down to the roots. You know, here's something I don't understand. Weasels, aren't they rodents? Why would you name something after a rodent? I mean, think about it. It's not a nice thing. Why not just call it the Amazing Rat Stick?
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davy company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Allsup Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. He's so green, he takes his life in his hands every time he walks across an intersection. Here he is, Mike Novak.
My only question is, when do I get that hour back? The one I lost last night. And I think, and
you do get it in the fall?
You know, they tell you in the fall, but by that time,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter.
It's too late. And it's way too late.
My uncle, a dairy farmer, hates daylight savings time because cows don't care.
Right.
Cows don't care. It's horrible for a farmer.
Yeah, and they're getting up at sunrise regardless.
And they're
working until sundown regardless. It doesn't matter. You know, it's a scam. I've come to the conclusion that it's just a total scam.
Wasn't it originally to get kids on buses at a safe hour and something with working? I don't know.
No, it's darker now in the morning. In case you didn't notice, I got up in the dark today because they moved it.
True, I just assumed it was the crummy weather.
You know, regardless of how it plays out.
Yeah, I don't quite get it.
There's always somebody who's going to profit from it, and there's always somebody who's not. And I think if you did the scorecard, it would all even out. So in my mind, it's a scam. It's just a big scam. and it's a nuisance. It's just a bloody nuisance. I know we got more important things to do, like move to amend, and we need to, you know, here. Meanwhile, we're sitting here. We need to change our constitution because our so-called Supreme Court is decided to throw the country into the garbage bin. So that needs to be fixed. But can we fix daylight saving time while we're at it? And by the way, folks, it's not savings time. No matter how you, it's saving time. It's, you know, we're saving time. We're not saving. Savings time makes no sense.
Right.
You know, we're here to save. We're trying to save time. We're not trying to save time. That doesn't make any sense. So just so you know, see, now this is how my day starts.
Oh, yeah.
On a rant. I'm cranky because I lost an hour of sleep. See, this is,
well, I'll say
it's just proof positive that this is not a good thing.
You have a great new haircut, Mike.
Well, thank you.
You look good. Moon, good looks.
Shut the subject.
I feel awful.
Can we distract them?
Great.
Ooh, shiny ball. Shiny ball.
Ooh, look at that. Yay. Oh, thank you. Okay. Well, the whole crew's here today. That was Lisa Albrecht and Rob Carthel's here. Hey. And Sarah Batka, who I didn't see at the big gala of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. She showed up
fashionably
late. like fashionably two hours late. And, of course, Denny Sheeter behind the glass. We need to seal him off from the rest of the crew. It's very important that that happens.
Understandably so.
Okay. We need to get Mr. Curtis on the phone, so let's do that right away. Bill Curtis, broadcasting legend, is on the show this morning, and I'm very excited about that. So I want to get right to that. But also a bunch of legends. If you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, you will see that I've called this a show filled with legends, and I feel like that's what we have, is many people who have done great things. Bill Curtis starts it, and of course, a broadcasting legend. You know him from A&E and the programs there. Also owns Tallgraf Beef Company. Grass-fed beef. So he will be with us in just a second. Legends number two and three are in just a few minutes. Jim Slama and Vicky Nowicki. That's because the Good Food Festival is, you know, this is a busy week. We've got the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, which just opened Saturday. And I was there all day yesterday at the Dig in Chicago booth. And in the second hour, we'll be talking to Jennifer Brennan. We'll give a little critique. And Sarah, you can jump in on a little critique of the garden show as well and talk about what's there. We'll be going to the Flower and Garden Show to talk to Jennifer Brennan. Also this week, the Good Food Festival opens. That's Jim Slama, who put together familyfarmed.org and used to be called Family Farmed Expo. It's now called Good Food Festival, and it doesn't happen just in Chicago. It happens in other places in the country. And Jim Slama will be here along with Vicky Nowicki. And I say that Vicky is a legend because she's been practicing permaculture for 30 years with husband Ron out in Downers Grove. So they will be here in just a few minutes to talk about Good Food Festival. Then in the second hour, Mel Bartholomew. There's a guy who almost by accident wrote a book called Square Foot Gardening. And if you're a gardener at all, you've heard about this. And then he sold 2 million copies of the book. And I have to tell you that nobody sells 2 million copies of any kind of a book in horticulture except Mel Bartholomew. And he's coming here into the studio. I'm very excited. So get your gardening questions ready at 773-763-9278 because Mel Bartholomew will be here. And then, like I said, after that, Jennifer Brennan from the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. Let's go to line two, bring in Bill Curtis. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Yeah, good to see you the other day.
It was wonderful running into you. And if you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, you'll see a photo of Bill and Jennifer and me. There he was. I was having I can't remember what it. I'll tell you what was the best thing. Sarah Batka here in the studio and I have agreed that the shepherd's pie was the best thing at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show gala the other night.
It sounds great. I like to try everything. So
we should say that's from Chief O'Neill's on Elston.
Okay.
Let's
give him.
Yeah.
Wait. We got to give him the plug. There we go. And then I look across the aisle, and there's Bill Curtis wandering down the aisles of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. And so I went over and said hi, and I'm very happy to have you here because you're starting a new venture on Chicago's Progressive Talk, WCPT, which starts tomorrow.
Yes, it does. How about that? Well, I've been very much into global warming and climate change, and these will be short little pieces. Hopefully, go beyond the tips for using less toothpaste.
Yes,
and brushing your teeth less. To learn about what's happening around us.
Well, but that's a really good point, Bill. It's a challenge to get information in 60 seconds. Fortunately, you've done this a long time, and you have a good grasp of some of the environmental issues that are out there. But that is your challenge, to distill it and make sense in 60 seconds.
Well, that seems to be the way we communicate these days, from headlines on our iPhone to radio. We find it a challenge to sustain our attention longer than that. But we'll be slipping over into the subject of food, too. Right now, I happen to be very interested in GMOs and what appears to be a rising tide of a movement against them, the genetically modified food and the ingredients. One thing that shocked me yesterday from the announcement that Whole Foods is going to label them in the future is the fact that 70% of our foods already have them in it. And I think that's kind of the little capper that they slipped them in there without telling us.
Yes, they did. The horse is kind of out of the barn there. So it is. I saw that announcement, too, and thought, well, this is really going to be interesting to see what happens out of this, because what happens when folks find out that, as you say, 70% of their food already contains GMOs? Do they shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, let's move on to the next issue? Or do they then begin searching for foods that don't have GMOs in them?
Well, if nothing has happened and like allergies, they probably will move on. But the fact is that allergies, especially among children, are rising, and it's thought to be genetic, but also environmental, as in the causes. And we don't know. The combinations of chemical ingredients within our foods are such that they just haven't been tested. It's a little scary, especially when you think that we only exist on about six seeds and monocultures. So I think it's quite a challenge.
And it's not just in the foods. It's in our carpets. It's in our drapes, in the stuff we sleep on. We have chemicals. And one other thing is, I've had a fellow on this show, Tom Ogren, who has a theory that we're also planting monocultures in our landscapes, and they're mostly male clone plants like junipers, and they produce lots and lots of pollen, and we don't want to plant the female plants because we think they're too messy because they produce fruits, that sort of thing. So we clone the males, we release these pollen corridors, and where do we plant these? Around the entrances to hospitals, to schools, and then we wonder why people have severe allergies.
Yeah, I'm standing looking at my junipers right now. So thank you very much.
I'm sorry. You're not going to sleep well tonight, Bill.
I'm wondering. Oh, my God.
Before I let you go, very quickly, I wanted to ask you a little bit about Tallgrass Beef Company and how you did last year with this terrible, terrible drought that's been in the middle of the country. How did that affect your operation?
Well, it affected the entire beef market. I had to move cattle off my ranch simply because, had I left them, we would have had a desert. They would eat everything right down to the roots. So you have to preserve your grass. On the one hand, with the corn prices going up, people say, oh, you ought to be in great position. Well, we would be if we hadn't had, the drought of the century. So we had to move our source to the Pacific Northwest, Oregon. They have all the rain there, and they have grass all year round. And there is a change, a slight change in taste. But, you know, we're all going to have to get used to that. If you want good food, especially organic food, real food, you're going to have to roll with it. And we prefer, as do the Asians, good old Midwestern beef. But let's adapt. So we're in pretty good shape, especially with issues like, it seems like the tidal wave of criticism has hit the beef market against growth hormones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Puberty is down around 7 years of age. No antibiotics because of resistant bacteria. Now GMOs and GMOs in the corn for the conventional cattle. So I'm sitting in a pretty good spot because we don't have those. And, you know, so maybe I'll be the island as the rest of it erodes around me.
And you said you had to move cattle off to save the grass. Do you, it's an odd question, but I never thought about it. If you've got grass-fed cattle, what kind of grass are they eating, and do you ever have to seed grass?
Well, people do reinforce, they enrich the grass, especially with fescue. Especially down in the rich river bottoms, but we prize native grasses. We have it right here. We're the beginning of the tall grass prairie in Chicago. And things like blue stem, blue, buffalo grass, Indian grass, wonderful varieties whose roots go down 15 feet to survive the droughts. And these are the best, grasses to fatten cattle in the world. So you want to save them. We burn the dead off in the spring. It's a wonderful sight, but they come back very quickly, you know, within a couple of weeks. Prize the buffalo really established the protocol, and we're emulating the buffalo with the cattle. They would come through and eat the little shoots and love to lick the chemicals out of what's left in the ashes. So you want to get back to the land, and that's where the nutrition is. And you want to get out of the feedlots and away from the chemicals, and then we'll all be better off, I believe.
That's Bill Curtis, legendary anchor in Chicago and throughout the country. And it's a pleasure to have your program, Earth Matters, starting on WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk, starts tomorrow. I'll be running a couple of times a day. You'll hear Bill Curtis. Can I ask a favor? Maybe in the future, when you do an issue and cover it on Earth Matters and it catches my attention, might I have you back on the show to chat?
No. Love it. Please, I'll let you know. Let the fun begin.
Indeed. Bill, thank you so much. You have a great Sunday, and I hope we talk very soon.
Same to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. There he goes. The man, the legend, Bill Curtis. And those, as I said, those programs start tomorrow. Okay, lots to do on the show today, so let's get to it. There's a flower and garden show starting at Navy Pier this weekend, but there's another one happening just as we cross over into spring on Saturday and Sunday, March 23rd and 24th. That's the annual All-Sip Home and Nursery Flower and Garden Show, and I'm very happy to have Alsip back on the program this year. And it's going to be at both stores in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John, Indiana. There are great educational seminars like a lawn care seminar that challenges conventional lawn care thinking. You know, maybe they should bring in Bill Curtis to talk about grass-fed beef lawn care. Who knows? But Jonathan Green's new American lawn process will be discussed. In addition, Alsip's landscape design staff will wow you with a 3D landscape design demonstration by their newest landscape design team member. There are more vendors and booths and more prizes this year. And, of course, those wonderful spring plants. And there's me. I will be speaking on Saturday, March 23rd at 11 a.m. at the Frankfurt store. So come by and say hi at the Allsip Home and Nursery Flower and Garden Show. Fun for the whole family. Go to allsipnursery.com, A-L-S-I-P-nursery.com for more information. And if you have leftover plastic pots, and I'm very happy about this because they're bringing this initiative to the fore. If you have leftover plastic pots, bring them in. Get 5% off any purchase when you bring in any pot for recycling, no matter where it was purchased. Go to allsipnursery.com.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Have you noticed that there's something going on in the food industry? It's becoming much less industrial. People all over Chicagoland, the U.S., and the world are rediscovering fresh, natural food. I'm Mike Novak, and I want you to join me at the Good Food Festival and Conference, March 14th through 16th at the UIC Forum in Chicago. There will be urban farm tours, workshops with experts in a range of fields, and exhibitors from across the country sharing the latest in sustainable food systems, public policy, and, of course, great food to enjoy. Please visit goodfoodfestivals.com to learn more about this outstanding event. You can purchase tickets online, get directions, and check out the workshop schedule and exhibitor list. Sustainable local food systems can transform our communities, our environment, and our economy. But it's up to us to get informed and get involved. I'll be speaking at the festival, and I hope to see you there. That's goodfoodfestivals.com.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Like I said, we've got a jam-packed show today, so we are immediately going to go to the phones and bring in my buddy, legend number two on the program today. As I said, Jim Slama, this is a show full of legends, and I've decided you're in that category.
Oh, shucks, Mike. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're just that level below Bill Curtis. So, but that's okay. That's a good place to be. And legend number three, why didn't that work? Let's try that again. There we go. Vicky Nowicki. Hi, Vicky. How are you?
Hello, Mike. I am so fine sitting here in my easy chair with my wonderful cup of coffee. Talking to you.
And you had a little accident, huh?
Well, your screener, Dennis, just said, I'm going to put you on hold and go ahead when you get on the show, break a leg.
And that she did it before the show, Denny.
I know. I'm very compliant.
It was a nice breaker.
I did have a little weird, freaky accident, and I broke my kneecap. But I am going to be in great shape for the Good Food Festival next Saturday. And, boy, the festival has really come around this year to a whole new way of being. I'm so excited.
Well, you know, this is something that has evolved over the years. I've been to a number of these, going back to when it was called Family Farmed Expo. And Jim, you guys have jumped around in venue, too, but you seem to have found a nice home at UIC.
UIC Forum is a great venue. It's a very professional event space. We take over the entire building. You know, we're going to have at least 4,000 people over those 3 days. Come on out. And, you know, it's really the place now for good food conference in the Midwest, if not the country. There's really nothing like it because it incorporates, you know, the financing conference for food and farm businesses on Thursday, and Friday's got the trade show and a food policy summit and school food summit for people who want to change the way we feed our children at school. You know, and then Saturday's just a huge food festival and workshops and, you know, all kinds of things. And don't forget Friday night, Localicious with, you know, 650 people and 40 great vendors, including many established Chicago restaurants and local libations providers. And, you know, I think it's just a great 3 days.
It's a remarkable 3 days. And I think what sets it apart are some of the things that you just mentioned, the idea that on Thursday and Friday, you know, you have your standard food festival on Saturday. You've got vendors, you've got seminars, and Vicki will get into that in a second because there's a lot of great seminars, as always. And folks come and they talk about food. They look at the vendors. They buy food. They get involved with CSAs. But the 2 days before, it seems to me, are the unique part of this, even though the public at large isn't always part of it. But that's the financing conference, trade show, food policy summit. What is going to be the focus of the food policy summit this year, Jim?
Excuse me. Well, you know, every year it's different. This year there's a lot, of course, on food access, you know, which is a, you know, it's a big deal in Chicago. We need to create more access to food, and, you know, that's one of the big issues. Building our urban farms and community food systems, you know, is another component to it. You know, Growing Power is very much involved in it, Eric Allen and her team. And so, of course, there's a focus on how do we grow food in the city and actually make that an integral part of our food supply chain. And then also just, you know, connecting with our community and how do we grow this good food movement is, you know, is all a big part of it. You know, there's also a big school food component to it. And, you know, because we've worked with Chicago Public Schools now for the last 3 years and their food service provider, Chartwell's. And they've bought over $6 million from local farmers in that period. You know, a lot of apples from Michigan, even though we didn't get as many last year, but the three previous years we got a ton, but also potatoes and cabbage and broccoli. And they put in a frozen local program, which is great. So they're buying, you know, fresh frozen food from farmers. They freeze it, and then they serve it in February when there's no local product around. So that's been great. They also added an antibiotic-free chicken program, which is huge. You know, first school, major school district in the country to do that. And now New York and L.A. and Miami and Houston, they're all doing the same thing. So Chicago was really in the lead, both in terms of procuring high volumes of local food, but now also, you know, bringing in chicken that's not produced with antibiotics, which is huge. So this, you know, a lot of those things are going on that day. And also at the trade show, we've got Midway Airport and McCormick Place announcing major new local food procurement initiatives. So the largest convention center in America and a very large airport. So it's a good place to do business if you're a farmer, a distributor, or other people who, you know, just want to be part of this food industry.
Wow. You know, and it's just amazing how much you're talking about there, and certainly in terms of procurement. What was that number with the Chicago Public Schools again?
Oh, we've been averaging over $2 million a year in local food, plus then added a antibiotic-free chicken program. And I think they bought almost 1 million pounds of Amish chicken from Indiana that, of course, is produced, you know, free-range, antibiotic-free.
Mention chicken with bones in it, not the pink slime chicken.
Exactly. It's real chicken.
No, seriously.
No, I understand.
This is a real chicken.
I go back to the old Far Side cartoon where they would have he would do the cartoon on boneless chicken, and the chicken's just flopping around, you know, on the ground there. And that's what I think of when I think of boneless chicken. And you do want chicken with bones.
No, I mean, that's how they are billing this when they talk about this chicken, is bone-in chicken.
Well, and what's interesting is that you know, we had an event a few years ago, and Whole Foods is there, and Chipotle, and Pew Charitable Trust, and, you know, some other kind of leaders in this movement. And what came out of this was Whole Foods buys way more breasts than everything else. Chipotle buys the thighs. And this Amish chicken producer in Indiana was long on drumsticks. So next thing you know, these drumsticks are being served to Chicago public schools.
You know, I have to bring this up because Bill Curtis mentioned it earlier on the show, this announcement by Whole Foods that they're going to label the GMO products at their stores. How do you think that's going to affect the industry, Jim?
I think it's huge. You know, and Whole Foods has really led in transparency. You know, they started with a meat program where they ranked their meat from 1 to 6. And initially, most of their meats were 1s and 2s. Now I'm seeing more 3s and 4s. And, of course, the higher you get, the better, you know, more access to pasture, enriched environment, all those kind of things. So they started it with meat. Actually, they started with seafood. They're, you know, by ranking things with MSC, Marine Stewardship Council certified. So they really launched nationally the sustainable seafood movement. They did it well, and now even Walmart is picking up, you know, MSC certified seafood. Now they've done it with meat, and their buyers are, you know, being pushed to buy more and more better quality, you know, more humane meats. So they've done it with meat. They're going to be doing it with produce, and that's going to be happening, I think, later this year where they're ranking the produce. So, of course, local organic is going to be a 6, and conventional will probably be a 1. And, again, transparency, which then forces their buyers to buy more and their customers. It helps them understand the significance of this product. And now when they label GMOs, again, huge. I mean, because basically if you're – you know, Kraft or General Mills, and, you know, you own one of these brands that's a, you know, a natural brand, but, you know, it's got GMOs in it, and all of a sudden you're going to have, in essence, a big skull and crossbones on your label saying, you might not want to buy this.
Well,
it's a very big deal.
It is a big deal, and I think you're right. I think folks, given the opportunity, are going to shy away from it. I think some folks will say, "Oh well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to die anyway." But I'll say, Lisa.
I was at the grocery store this week and walked out with little or nothing because I felt like I can't buy seafood anymore because the oceans are overfished. I'm so confused as a consumer as to what I can and can't buy anymore that I walked out of the grocery store practically empty-handed.
Well, you know, it comes down to there's one really good choice that everyone has, and that is to either buy from a local organic farmer or grow it yourself at home. You know, those are some pretty good choices that you have.
Right. So, like here we have Irvin Shelley is a good example of where I could buy.
Oh, that's an excellent choice.
I love them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great CSAs in the area, and you can find those easily now. You can go to familyfarm.org.
That's a good resource for finding an excellent CSA, yes.
Yeah.
And we're going to have quite a few CSA operators. In fact, we have a great panel on Saturday with a number of CSAs talking. You know, and, you know, what's the difference? And there's meat CSAs now. And, you know, for people who don't know,
there's
community-supported agriculture where you can actually buy a share, in essence, a share of the farm's production, and then you get a box a week or a box every 2 weeks or whatever, you know, depending on the deal of the farm. And now you've got meat and you've got produce, and sometimes there's flour CSAs. So we're going to be talking about that on Saturday, which would be an interesting thing.
That's actually a good segue.
Do I have time to talk about some of the workshops?
Yeah. Hold on just one second. Sarah, I know you wanted to jump in here for a second.
Oh, I was just going to suggest the local beat for Chicago
also,
CSAs.
Exactly.
Yes, that's right.
The local beat.
B-E-E-T.
Right. And so if you're looking for a CSA, go to the local beat, go to familyfarm.org. There was one other that I'm going to be, it doesn't pop into my head at the moment, but there are a number of places where you can find CSAs. By the way, we're talking to Jim Slama from familyfarm.org. We're talking to Vicki Nowicki, who has been a permaculture advocate for over 30 years, and has a couple of great sites, including libertygardens.com.
Right.
The site that you have with Ron, which is the Land Office.
Holdtonature.com.
All right, let's talk about those workshops on Saturday, because a lot of folks are going to be there on Saturday. They'll be looking at booths, but they're going to be coming to workshops, too, that start at 9 a.m. and go to 4:45.
So. Right. Now, there's two ways you can see workshops. And what I want to say about it is, first of all, there is going to be a film at 3:30 about GMOs, or, you know, I'd rather call them genetically engineered foods, because all of us are genetically modified, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see some really scary stuff about eating GMOs and what that can do to you or your livestock. I would suggest staying later to see that, or come and see my panel on biodiversity of seeds. I think...
When is your panel?
It's at 3:30 also.
Oh, it's also... You know what? That's the problem. You're I'm competing against this, too, because I have a session called How to Grow a Community Garden.
At 3:30,
At 3:30, which I'm going to be doing...
That's a terrific panel with LaManda Joy and someone...
Samuels and Matt Ryan from The Talking Farm. So,
yes, that's right.
And we'll be talking about how to grow a community garden, but there's so many great sessions.
So what I wanted to say was Jim was able to snag just the hottest author of all time right now, Sandor Katz, who's giving a three-hour presentation on the art of fermentation. Now, a lot of people haven't heard of fermentation, but what I wanted to say about that was that his presentation is kind of setting the tone for the whole festival this year, and that is that this is an ancient art, and I've noticed that many of the presentations this year are calling upon the wisdom of some of the older ways of dealing with food and gardening and farming. And this is kind of what people are wanting so badly. They're pushing back on these GMOs, the modern industrial farming methods that are using chemicals and fossil fuels and so forth. And Sandor Katz is sort of an example of one of the ways of preserving foods that is a way to preserve food, but keeping it alive with all kinds of organisms so that when you go to eat it, you're eating something that's still alive. It's not, you know, frozen and kind of dead. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of dead.
It's an exciting way to preserve food. If you've ever had sauerkraut or yogurt or wine, you're eating a fermented food. And lots of people are getting he's got a following now of people who are learning how to use this method of mm-hmm. preserving food, and the flavors are very intense and wonderful. You can just ferment almost any food right on your kitchen counter. And I highly recommend people to sign up for this.
Yeah, and that workshop is 9 a.m. to 12 noon.
Right.
The Art of Fermentation with Sander Katz. And actually, Rob Gardner is the moderator, and he's with the local beat. We mentioned
right.
them. And
but you have no idea how popular this is. Lots of people have not tried fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
We were lucky to get him to introduce fermentation to people who are now just starting to try canning and drying and other kinds of preservation. Now, you notice on the workshops, there's other kinds of older kinds of wisdom that people are just clamoring to use.
Like home cheese making you've got there.
Exactly. I see. And we've got this adorable young person who actually raises goats, and then she milks the goats for goat's milk, and then she makes the cheese, and she's a prize-winning cheese maker. We had her last year, and she was so engaging, so charming, and she's going to make the cheese right there in the workshop, so you can see how to do it.
And then some of the other sessions are organic versus conventional food. Why the Stanford study is wrong? I like that.
Exactly. But now nowadays, when we talk about organic, you have to remember it's not, you know, because anybody can say organic and still use a lot of fossil fuels.
Sure.
And mechanical.
Hey, let's Jim had a comment in there. Jim.
Yes. You know, one of the keys to that workshop is organic versus conventional is that Fred Kirschenman is on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred, if you don't know Fred, he's a longtime organic farmer who actually went back to his family farm after finishing his PhD in theology at the University of Chicago. And he told his dad, he said, well, you know, I'd be happy to take over the farm, but under one condition, I'm going to do it biodynamically. And this is, you know, back in the 80s, I think, in North Dakota, which is not exactly, you know, a hotbed for biodynamic farming. But he did and, you know, successfully converted the farm. He's got a huge rotation. And then ultimately became the head of the Leopold Institute for Sustainable Agriculture in Iowa. And now is the chair of the Stone Barns Institute in New York City that, you know, was started by the Rockefellers. It's an amazing, you know, research place and a demonstration project for organic farming. So Fred is one of those just gurus that, you know, if you haven't heard Fred speak, you should, because he's worth hearing.
And he's
going to be on my channel also, which is called Grassroots Biodiversity. And it's all about how we need to protect the biodiversity of this gene pool of seeds that we have left that haven't been grabbed by the multinational corporations who are, you know, generating these GMOs. Now, you know.
Well, at the moment, I'm copywriting many seeds myself, so I can just control them. I need to make some money.
I mean, there will come a day when these GMOs are going to be just a flash in the pan. You know what I'm saying? Because the wisdom of the generations are in the gene pool that we have right now. And you can see in the workshops that we're giving that and in these wonderful exhibitors that we have, that here is where the security of our future lies is in the biodiversity that exists now.
And all of that is coming up this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If you want information, go to goodfoodfestivals.com.
Okay, Mike, and one more thing. New this year, if you don't want to attend a long workshop, we have this fabulous new introduction called the Good Food Commons. Dozens and dozens of short workshops, 20 minutes long, on all kinds of different topics that you can attend for free.
Oh.
Driven by Growing Power, Chicago Botanic Garden, Growing Home, Faith Farm, Edible Alchemy. And so you have to come. For the price of admission, $10 online, you can attend 25 different talks.
Wow, that's a great deal. Well, we're out of time here. I want people to go to goodfoodfestivals.com. And, Jim, I want to give you the final word here.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. You know, we also have some of the leading chefs in Chicago. Rick Bayless is doing a demo to start at 10:30. Carrie Nahabedian from Naha, Paul Varant, you know, from V and Perennial Varant is doing a demo. And then after Paul's, we have the kimchi challenge. So one of the key things about fermentation is that, you know, that's how you make kimchi. And so we've got 15 leading restaurants in Chicago competing with Sandra Katz, the guru on fermentation, is one of the judges. Steve Dolinsky's a judge. And we're going to pick the best kimchi in Chicago, so it's going to be a real blast.
Sounds...
I hope people can join us for any and all. And, Mike, as usual, we appreciate you joining us on Saturday, and we appreciate the ability to let your listeners know. And, by the way, congrats on the TV show. Bravo.
Thank you so much. Well, I'll be talking about that in the second hour. Vicky Nowicki, Jim Salama, thank you guys so much, and I will see you later in the week.
All right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, bye-bye. Jim.
All right, think of this number, 10 million. That's how many bacteria should be in 1 gram of healthy soil. 1 gram. Microbes are the great digesters of the earth. They constantly break down organic material into a more usable form that plant roots can identify, absorb, and use for new growth. That's what the probiotics in Dr. Earth products are all about, feeding the microbes that feed your plants. Go to drearth.com to see more and to find a dealer near you. Glad to have them back on the show this season. Dr. Your Earth with Dr. Earth, and visit their booth at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show this week, number 431. Say hi to Lisa. Tell her Mike sent you.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Better gardening begins when you have the gardener's edge. Since 1885, A.M. Leonard has delivered high-quality tools for gardeners, growers, and landscapers. A.M. Leonard's Gardener's Edge has a huge selection of gardening tools, and right now, listeners to my show can save 30% on their popular soil knife, which has 58 out of 61 five-star reviews. Linda writes, a must-have tool for every garden. I use it constantly, digging weeds, planting, sowing seeds, and cutting string for tying up plants. Garden Girl says, I have tough clay soil, and having gone through multiple trowels each season for several years, I decided it was time to look for something sturdy. This is it. I no longer even take my trowel to the garden. And right now, save 30% on the incredible soil knife from Gardener's Edge. Call 888-556-5676 during weekday business hours. 888-556-5676. And don't forget to mention me, Mike Novak, or go to GardenersEdge.com/Chicago. That's GardenersEdge.com/Chicago.
That guy ought to be in radio. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Isn't it nice to be easing into spring for a change? Rick DeMaio is going to tell us about that in just a second. And here's a checklist for taking care of your trees as we get there. First, check your trees for damage that may have occurred over the winter. Check mulch rings to see if additional material needs to be added. If the mulch is less than 2 inches thick, grass growing through it may become troublesome. And weeds, too. Many insects and diseases are active during the spring months. Check your trees and shrubs regularly for any sign of pest activity. Our moisture levels are still not where they should be, so be sure to water deeply. Water your trees and shrubs when necessary, and avoid using herbicides beneath trees that warn against such use on the label. The same herbicides that kill dandelions can hurt trees if they are not applied properly. And invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. Mm-hmm.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're getting some calls from people who want to know about the event. It's the Good Food Festival. Again, if you want, all that information is online there, and they have a ton of it online, and you can check everything out and all the workshop schedules. Go to goodfoodfestivals.com. We actually had Dr. Laura call in and say, wanted to know if they're talking about fracking. I don't know that they are, because I think it's about food. This is a food festival, and that's why they're doing it. But if you have any more information, want more information, go to goodfoodfestivals.com. And we're going to line two and bring in Rick DeMaio, meteorologist extraordinaire. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing fine, Mike, down here at the lovely campus of Illinois State University in Bloomington. I'm at, believe it or not, the K-8 State Chess Championship. Now, I know I'm not K nor 8, but I was a chauffeur. So there's a lot of young testosterone running around here playing chess. And I look around and I see the future of our country before me. It's pretty amazing that there's literally 2,000 kids down here all playing chess.
I have to tell you, I'm not smart enough to play chess. That's a game.
Come on, it's fun.
No, I'm not.
You've never got into chess.
Never. And it's because I think it's because I don't know how to think ahead.
That's a large part of producing radio, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, well, no wonder we crash and burn so often.
No. You don't crash. You just burn. But no, it's interesting because when I drove down here Friday, I kind of crossed over the line of snow to no snow just about the Pontiac area. And this was the same area that was just completely devastated by the drought last year. Really, they were hit a lot worse than we were up north. And obviously, there's a lot more, vested interest in the farming community. And as I passed a couple of small town, the places where they give out, the Blaine's Farm and Fleet, those kind of places. I looked at them and I'm like, God, I just hope that they have a much better year this year. And I even picked up a couple of local newspapers when I was trying to stay there. And they were all talking about how the recent rains and the winter snow have been very beneficial going into the growing season. And, you know, we're getting some rain right now. There's a lot of snow melt, and we got probably a good solid inch and a half of water in some of the snow that came down here last week. And and this is good news for the farmers down here. So it's kind of nice to be down here during this time of the year, because a lot of anticipation on this year being a lot different than last year, particularly for the farmers of Central Illinois and for the people who just grow normal, gardens up in Northern Illinois as well.
Yeah, I, on my way in, though, I have to admit, I noticed a lot of water pooling. Did anybody else in the studio here notice that? I was kind of surprised at how much water was on the streets today.
I did notice, yeah.
Well, part of that is the frost level is down to about 5 or 6 inches. The ground's not completely frozen, but there is quite a bit of frost. And part of that is because we had some pretty cold nights prior to that big snow. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago in the studio, I said, I still feel like there's one more big one left in our back pocket. And sure enough, it delivered 9 inches at O'Hare, 9 at Midway. That was the heaviest March snow that we've seen around here, Mike, since 1954. That's going way back. And if you think about it, we've had nearly 85% of our normal snowfall since about the 5th or 6th of February. And it's really bizarre. And I've talked to a bunch of people in the meteorological community, and they cannot remember a winter like this going back 30 years, where you've had so much snow on the backside of it, as we call it backloaded snow, and also cold as well. We were 2 degrees below normal for the month of February. We're currently running almost 4 degrees below normal for the month of March. And that's obviously going to turn around because we've only had, 8 or 9 days so far in the books. But in addition to that, we've had some decent rainfall as well. So, we had the fifth wettest February on record. And even the rain that we're getting right now, almost a half inch in some areas and another half inch predicted. Some of those puddles and pools, as you mentioned, could promote a little bit of, minor flooding in some of the park district areas and maybe in some of the poor drainage areas, up against maybe the east side of your house where, as Patrick Sketch reminded me, most of the snow fell due to the fact that we had more of an east wind with this event. But by and large, this is not a flooding event, but this is a nice seepage event that goes from runoff into infiltration. That's exactly what the growers need around northern Illinois and also central Illinois as well.
So you mentioned that we might have a couple of snow events before this is all over. Do you see any more coming?
You know what, Mike? The pattern, as much as it tried to get cold on us a couple of weeks ago, has begun to reverse itself. And I always say the first 2 weeks of November and the first 2 to 3 weeks of February, probably the most difficult to predict beyond, say, 30 to 45 days. But what we have seen is a general trend away from cold and away from snow, a couple shots of cold and a couple shots of cold coming here, you know, within the next couple of weeks. But by and large, they become weaker and weaker with each, you know, numerical model forecast. And really, we're not looking at anything in a way of substantial, significant snow. And I still think back to March 12th and 13th, 1993, and we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of that. That was the big storm of the century, the one that produced, you know, 25 to 40 inches of snow across the Northeast. And amazingly enough, 12 inches of snow in downtown Birmingham, Alabama. So that was a far-reaching snow event, but there's nothing like that coming down the pike. Just a nice, slow transition into what appears to be somewhat of a very active and somewhat wet next couple of weeks in the month of March. And I think April right now still may be somewhat on the cooler side, but we're definitely not going to see what we had this time last year, which was, you know, a spike of 70 and 80 degree weather. There's nothing like that coming at us anytime soon.
Well, actually, that does make me happy. And I was at the Flower and Garden Show yesterday, and a lot of people jonesing for spring and itching to plant. And I just say to them, nah, chill out.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy this real weather.
No rush.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm very happy to have still a little bit of snow on the ground, although we're going to lose that, it looks like, in the next few days, won't we?
Yeah, I would think that most of the time when you lose the snow that we have, it's going to be basically the stuff that's, you know, your 4 or 5 inch snow banks or snow drifts or snow depths rather. But the big piles of snow that you drive around and you see in the big shopping mall centers, and those are going to be around at least another week or two. But that was a real nice snow event. It was a long lasting snow. It had some nice dryness to it, and it gave us exactly what we needed this time of the year.
Well, you got about 45 seconds here. What do we got?
Yeah, so again, rain today, rain tomorrow, but it looks like most of the rain is basically over with by early tomorrow morning. About a half inch is probably going to come down, Mike, and then basically dry weather for the next 2 days. A little bit of rain by the middle of the week, but nothing in the way of any colder snow and temperatures over the next 5 days. Pretty much averaging about a degree or two below normal, Mike.
All right, Rick, enjoy the chess tournament, and let me know who wins.
Yeah, there's always happy faces and sad faces, but at the end, they all shake hands.
That's good. See, that's the sportsmanship we need in this country.
Indeed.
Yes, we do. Learn a lot from this.
All right, and be safe travels back home, okay?
Will do.
Take care.
Bye, Rick.
You know what? I forgot. We have tickets to give away to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show.
How exciting.
So second hour, we're going to do that. We got to figure out how to do that. Maybe during the news. We'll have a
post something on Facebook, and
I don't know. We'll confer here. Mm. We'll powwow on this and figure it out. Second hour, again, another legend, and that is Mel Bartholomew, who's going to be talking about his all new square foot gardening book, which has just come out. Over 2 million sold. You got to love that. So stick around.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak. Make sure they get your good side if the words unspoken. Get stuck in your throat. Send a treasure token, token. Ride it on a pound note, pound note.
So, Lisa, did you say that we had Mr. Zaber, David Zaber, who was on the show just a couple of weeks ago, has done a couple of posts on the site today on Facebook. And one of them was about grass-fed beef. Now, of course, that I mentioned that, I can't find it. It was there a second ago, and it seems to... I've been having all kinds of issues
with what he
Facebook
commented. His comment was that buffalo do not stand in waterways,
right,
streams,
that's it. There
and
it
rivers.
Is. There it is. Now I found it.
However,
okay.
Cattle, you know, being lazy and not as intelligent, you know, defecate and kick things up and dirty our waterways.
That's interesting. I just found it. Buffalo do not stand in streams or other waterways, even during the hottest periods of the year. Now I had no idea.
Did not know that.
Yeah. And what was the other thing that he was... posting us about?
Just a relationship with I think somewhere on your website you have a picture of Mae Jemison.
Jemison. She was on the show several years ago,
and he just commented on how his dad was actually teaching in the Cabrini Green area,
mm-hmm.
and part of what he was supposed to be doing was identifying kids who were supposed to get tracked for honors programs, and just the resistance of identifying her and getting her on track. But it looks as though his dad may have been one of her teachers.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty. He's.
Hope I summarized that well.
I'm sure you did. I'm not worried about it.
You're golden, Lisa.
David, yes, right.
David will tell me if I was accurate.
Exactly. He will.
I read quickly.
He will let us know. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. Welcome back for the second hour, our Legends show. And I do have a legend here in the studio, and that is Mel Bartholomew. And Mel, it's a pleasure and an honor to have you here.
Good morning, Mike.
And I love it. You traveled here by yourself. You don't have peeps or anything. Where are your peeps?
Tell you why. We're a nonprofit foundation. So we travel light and we travel easy.
You know, and that's the other thing. You know, you didn't just write a book called Square Foot Gardening, which became a fabulous success, but you started a foundation based on it.
Right.
How did the book lead to the foundation?
Well, actually, you know, first I have to tell you, I'm not a horticulturist. I think you know that.
You just play one on the radio.
Yeah. But I'm a civil engineer, and I had my own engineering company, and I retired when I was 42, sold the company, and I thought, I think I'll take up gardening. That would be a fun hobby to
okay,
do.
Okay, I got
to
stop you right there. How does one retire when they're 42?
Well,
okay,
I sold my engineering company, and enabled me to retire at an early age.
Wow.
So I took up gardening, and by golly, this was way back in the 70s. Now, you guys weren't even born then, but...
Present company
excluded. Well, okay.
Right?
I'm just throwing a few compliments around.
I know. I'll take that. I was here, too.
You know, as I've said to Rick DeMille many times, I've lived through the 70s. I don't remember them, but I lived through them.
Well, I took up gardening, and back then, all we learned was single-row gardening. And being an engineer, and I was also an efficiency expert, and that's a deadly combination, because my job was to, what's wrong with this picture, and then fix it. Well, I took up gardening. I started a community garden, and I did the traditional row gardening, you know, 3 feet apart, a 20-foot row of everything, 20 feet of cabbages, 20 feet of lettuce, 20 feet of beets. And I began to think, there's something wrong here. It seems so wasteful. And you pour out a whole packet of seeds in that row, and then what are you supposed to do? Go back in the thin.
Right, I know.
Wait a minute. Why did we plant? And then I counted the number of seeds in a packet. Let's take lettuce. How many seeds do you think are in a packet of lettuce?
You know what? Wait. Oh. There's our question.
Question number one.
There's our question.
Oh, okay.
773-763-9278. We're going to give away two tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show to the person who comes
closest.
And how close do they need to be in terms of... I don't even want to give that away.
No.
Just the closest to it. How many seeds in a typical packet of lettuce?
Lettuce.
773-763-9278. And so we can't give that that away. Questions just arise.
Mike, I'm glad I stopped in this morning.
Because otherwise we wouldn't know how to give away those tickets.
You know, I was coming in a cab. We had the address. And he was saying, now, where do you think it is? I said, well, it's a radio station. Suddenly, wow, there's this big tower. It's the only building with a tower on it.
It is helpful.
So that was great.
Yeah, you know, someday they'll actually put a sign out front, too. You just never know.
Well, you don't want to be too noticeable.
Too conspicuous.
Yeah.
Because the hordes descending upon us. So
anyhow, I took all these questions all over the country, and I sought out all the experts I could find in gardening. Now, these are people that had a TV show, wrote books, taught, professors, everyone that had anything to do with gardening. And I asked them, why do we plant in rows? Why do we rototill up the whole garden area, but then walk all over it, packing it down again? And why do we plant a whole packet of seeds and then have to thin out 95% of them? And all these different answers. Why do we add fertilizer to the whole garden area, but the rows are 3 feet apart? Mm-hmm. And I got the exact same answer from Maine to California. You know what that was?
That's the way we've always done
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You've been reading the book.
I have been reading the book, yes.
Well, I thought I'm going to go home and invent a new way to garden. So I had this long list of questions, and I was able to solve each one separately, but then all of a sudden they fit together. So if you don't walk on your soil and you reach into your garden, it won't get packed down. How far can you reach in? I got out a tape measure. I went to all the people in my community garden, little old ladies and big husky men, and they could all reach in 24 inches. Now, if you walk around your garden and walk and reach in 24 inches, you have a 4-foot by 4-foot area. And that became the basic size of a square foot garden.
Well, it's not really square foot. It's 4 square feet.
No,
it's 2.
4 times 4. Let's get our math going now.
No, 4 times 4. This is why I never learned chess either.
This could be the next question, but I don't think you'd win. 16 square feet.
There we go. 16 square feet. All right.
Now, kids can't reach in as far because they don't have as long arms. So they became 3 by 3.
Ah.
9 square feet. And I have a new book coming out this spring. It's called Square Meter Gardening. And it's going to go into Europe. And all over the world.
You know, those crazy people in Europe, meters.
Do the centimeters and the meters. But
actually, it's the other way around. We still do the feet and the yards.
I know it.
But you're an engineer. You know, you have to wonder about that. Why haven't we switched over?
It's tradition, because that's the way we've always done it.
All right, by the way.
Where have I heard that before?
All right, we need to have these folks answer the question that how many packets and
seeds. How many seeds in a packet of
lettuce. And Denny, I'm just going to go through them.
Yeah. I didn't ask them. I said, do you think you know the answer? They said, yes. I don't want to put you on hold.
All right.
We're not going to give any hints.
No hints. All right.
And you're going to be surprised.
All right. I'm going to go to Mary in Chicago. Mary, you're the first to guess. How many seeds in a packet of lettuce?
300.
Oh, that's a pretty good guess, but we'll put you on hold.
Thank you.
All right, we'll put you on because we'll see what.
Okay.
He's good. He's done this.
This is fun. I'm giddy.
Oh, okay. Did I get her? No, I didn't get her on hold. Okay, hold on. Oh, I know why, because I did that. Now I'm going to put you on hold, Mary. All right, let's go to Steve in Villa Park. Steve, what's your guess?
Steve isn't on. Hit it again.
Let's try it again. There we go. Steve.
I'm guessing 200.
Oh, okay. You got me down a little bit.
All right. Hold on. We're putting you on hold. All right. Let's go to Julia in Homewood. What's your guess, Julia?
Okay. I'm going to guess 260.
Very specific. 260.
You're really, really zeroed in on that. Okay.
And let's go to Susan in Mount Prospect. And Susan, what's your guess?
I'll say 151.
Okay, 151, and we're going to put you on hold now.
And then, Mike, we have a Twitter entry from Spiderwort. She's guessing 50.
50. Oh, wow.
Okay.
All right, let me get back to my story, because you've got to know how square foot gardening works, and then you're going to see a relationship to the answer we're going to have about seeds.
Okay.
All right, so our whole garden now.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Which ones can I let go?
What do you mean, let go?
I mean, of the people I want to keep the person who's closest right now.
Okay. Do you want me to go off here and tell you? I'll give you a signal.
I have a pretty okay.
All right, you got the signal.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go back to Steve. Steve, thanks for guessing. Not quite right. So thank you for calling. Appreciate it. And Julia, same to you. Thank you for calling. Try again if you want. And let's go to Susan. Thank you. And keep guessing. So there we go. And we've got Mary, hang on. You're the closest so far. All right. Keep going, Mel.
Okay. So now the basic size of a square foot garden is 4 by 4. You build a box. And I had another 10 questions for you. And it's on page 11 of my newest book, the Square Foot Gardening Answer Book.
Which I have right. Oh, the answer
book. No, you've got the...
I've got the square... Yes.
You've got the revised edition of the all-new Square Foot Gardening book. Okay. But we have an answer book. See? Does it look familiar?
Oh, there it is.
And on page 11, there are 10 major improvements to the all-new system. Now, when I first invented it, then everyone said, gee, it works so well, you ought to write a book. And I said, well, I enjoyed writing when I was an engineer. So I found a publisher, and they published the first book in 1981. That was Rodale Press, and it was the Square Foot Gardening Book. And then, believe it or not, I got on TV, and I ended up having my own 30-minute show on PBS. And it went nationwide, so it got a lot of publicity. And I was on there for 5 years. Then I decided to, that's enough. I retired again.
Again.
And I then it went back on the Discovery Network for and the Learning Channel for 3 more years. But then I retired again. And I thought, now, enough of gardening, enough of books. And so I was up in Northern California, and someone said, you ought to come see our school garden. It's all square foot. And I said, wow. And I went, and they had a garden for every child in that whole school. And the kids loved it, and the teachers were teaching so many subjects based on square foot gardening.
Now, did each child have a 3 by 3?
No, they each had one square.
Oh,
one square foot.
One square in the
school. So they had to learn how to get along with each other.
Oh, no.
Okay. And then each child got to choose whatever they plant they want, vegetables, flowers. The boys, of course, wanted vegetables. I want big vegetables. I want real big ones, you know, real macho.
Yeah.
The girl said, I'd like some pretty flowers. And the personality of each child, we got
to beat that back, that stereotyping early. Yeah. It's time to beat it back.
Well, this was back in the 80s.
Oh, that's right. That's ancient history.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But anyhow, I thought, you know, I shouldn't be retired. I should be taking square foot gardening into schools. Mm-hmm. So I came out of retirement again, and I formed a nonprofit foundation, and we started taking gardens into schools. And I traveled over the country, and we donated gardens, and then we taught. And I ended up in, usually we'd go to one school, see the principal, or we'd go to a district and put in a couple of schools at a time. Mm-hmm. And I was in Utah, and I went to the schools, and they said, well, we can't decide on any new programs. You have to go to the state. And I thought, well, I don't want to deal with that. Sounds too political. But My associate said, come on, what could they say? But no, let's try it. So we did, and we made a presentation. And by golly, the chancellor of science in Utah said, you know, that's a great idea. We love it. We'll take one garden for every school in the state of Utah.
Oh, my.
And I said, oh, we're just a little foundation. We don't have a lot of money. How many are there? Well, there's 350. Oh. Oh, I said, oh, boy. Well, we geared up and got a lot of volunteers and got some donations. And we ended up putting a square foot garden in every school in the state of Utah.
Oh, my goodness.
Then the state came back the next year and said, well, would you teach the teachers how to do square foot gardening? And I said, well, all right. So I took a whole summer and we had workshops and we taught all the science teachers how. And darn if they didn't come back the next year and said, well, would you write us a lesson plan? We don't have anything to teach. So I did. Took another summer off and I ended up staying in Utah. Then we got an invite to put in a public display garden at a beautiful place called Thanksgiving Point, just south of Salt Lake City. So I ended up spending 12 years in Utah,
wow,
teaching gardening, the schools, and then we got involved with a lot of humanitarian outfits. And suddenly, I'm going all over the world.
That's a cool thing.
India and Haiti and Africa and just everywhere. And we started putting square foot gardening And they said, we don't know what feet are. I said, well, all right, let's switch to meters. And by golly, a 3x3 for the schools is almost exactly the same as a square meter garden. Remember?
That's true, yes.
A meter is how many inches? That could be another question.
Oh, well, but that's...
Well, okay, we've
that's
already
kind of
got
an
easy
question. Well, in fact, let's go real quick to line two.
We getting any better answers?
Catherine, what's your guess on the seeds per packet?
Oh, I said 480.
Whoa, wow. What are you going to do with 480 heads of lettuce? But go on, hang in there. We're going to see some more.
Okay, hang on for just a second there, Catherine. I think, Mary, I got to let you go. I think you got supplanted by Catherine here.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Alrighty, bye.
See, we're getting close. I tell you what, I think we ought to reveal that because then we can move on to another question. So,
well, and I misunderstood. I thought Mary won, so I got to delete.
No. She was just the closest of the first four answers.
I changed
answers.
Facebook here.
Uh-oh. Well, you can delete that. All right. I've got you, Catherine.
I'm ready to tell you.
Yeah, that's right. Catherine,
you have any
I got
more?
You. No more guesses
right.
at the moment. So
here we are. You ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait. I've got a drum roll. Would you like a drum roll?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, here we go.
And when I... That's perfect. There's over 1,000 seeds in one packet.
Now, we are kidding.
I don't care if you're a family of rabbits. You're not going to eat 1,000 heads of lettuce. So why so many seeds? Well, you want to fill up that row, they said. I said, I don't want all that. That's too much. And that made me think, now, how can we control our planting? Now, there's...
Well, okay, but before we get to that, I want to get to that story. But now, Catherine, yes. Since you won, and you were far short with 480, but we couldn't get people to get up to 1,000, I want to get you some tickets for the Flower and Garden Show. I'm not going to send them. You're going to have to do will call.
Okay.
Would you like a couple?
Yes, I would.
All right.
Can you come Monday and hear my lecture?
That's right. Mel is there tomorrow at 6:15 at the Flower and Garden Show.
Oh.
It's okay. We're not going to make her do that. But, we'll do it.
I just had shoulder surgery, so I would have to have my daughter drive me.
That's all right.
Well, But you're playing. But you want the tickets anyway, right?
Yes, I was hoping to go. I went last year. I took a train and a taxi up there, and the weather was great.
Well, she's going from Hammond, Indiana.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
All right. So hang on, Catherine. Okay. I'm gonna put you on hold, and you talk to Denny, and we will send you or get you a couple of tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. Thanks for calling. All right, Mel. So you found out there's 1,000 seeds, or how many?
Over 1,000.
Over 1,000.
About 1,200.
And you don't. How many heads of lettuce can you grow?
Here's what I finally decided, Mike. I thought we should be gardening not like a farmer that we're going to go to market with a truck full. We should garden the way you go shopping. Now, when you go shopping, how many heads of lettuce you buy? One or two.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you grow 50 or 100 or 1,000? We should grow one or two and have some for next week, another one. And so I thought, we've got to control our planting. So remember, a 4x4, we put a grid on the top, and we divide it up into individual square feet. Now, the grid's made out of just sticks or strips of either wood or molding. And now we've divided our garden up into 16 square feet. Remember, 4 times 4?
Mm-hmm.
See all the math you can teach? And then the box is only 6 inches deep, so how many cubic feet do you have? See all the things we could do. And then if you want to learn the European method, how many cubic, what it would be, cubic
centimeters? Well, let me ask you then, how deep do you like your garden?
I decided that... And all the methods, there's one method that I learned when I first started, and that's the French intensive method. And you're supposed to dig down 18 inches deep. Oh, and I thought, that's so much work. And then you have to do this every year. And in everyone's single row garden, you have to dig down at least 12 inches and then improve the soil and add fertilizer and add peat moss and do this every spring. But you can't dig right away. Here in Chicago, you can't dig until the snow is gone, until the ground dries out. And I thought, well, you're sitting around waiting. Why can't we do something different? So to make a long story short, the all-new Square Foot Gardening book says don't even dig up your existing ground. We are not going to use our existing ground. Because every place I went in the country and then in the world, they said, oh, you wouldn't believe how bad our soil is here. It's the worst soil possible. It's either sandy or it's clay or it's gummy, whatever. And I said, well, why do you continue to dig it up? Well, that's why we've always done it. That's all I know. So I thought, what if we took a window box? Now, what's a window box? Mike, how deep is a window box?
How deep is a window box? Yeah, it's a.
And what are they
I'd
made
say
out of?
Eight inches,
okay,
maybe.
Eight inches. Yeah. And how wide are they? So they sit on a window, 6 inches.
Mine's about
Okay, and how long are they? They come
maybe 18?
A foot, 18 inches, 2 feet long. Well, and do you go out into your garden and dig up your existing soil and put it in that box? No, that'd be stupid. You go and buy a good potting soil.
Some people do, unfortunately.
They're going to have a bad garden because that soil's not good.
Yeah.
You know how much the average soil around the country, how much of the organic matter is in that soil? What would you guess? This is another question, but it's just for you.
One. Okay, no, I know the answer to this one,
okay.
Because I read your book, remember? But there's our next question is, how much
organic matter
is in average soil, all right? And that's by percentage,
yes.
Okay? Percentage of your soil, what percentage of your soil is organic matter? 773-763-9278. If you can answer that question, what percentage, we will give you a couple of tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show.
Now, don't go by the number of seeds over 1,000. So we can't have over 1,000.
Well, you know, it's got to be somewhere between 0 and 100%.
There you go. Very good.
So that's we have to limit that. All right. So,
okay.
So you're talking about putting those boxes together.
Yep. And we build a box. The new, all new method is you find the best spot in your yard, and the front yard is good consideration these days. And it needs a lot of sun. You know, vegetables and flowers need a lot of sun. So if you can get 6 to 8 hours of sun, but you don't need a big area. The old fashioned row gardens, you know where they used to be? Way out back near the property line.
Sure.
You know why? Yeah. Because by August, they were so filled with weeds, nobody wanted to see them. And they were so overgrown. When Mom said, kids, go out and get some peppers for dinner, they said, oh, I'm not going near that garden. There might be something out there. And you could see the weeds rustling a little bit.
You know, and that's interesting. Why did people put their gardens out of sight like that?
Because they were so big and they got so filled with weeds that they didn't even go
so
near
they anticipated that the garden was going to be filled with weeds, so let's get it away from the house
so we don't
have to deal with
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
But see, that's a self-defeating prophecy because...
Of course it is.
Because once then... You get the weeds, and then you say, oh, there's too many weeds, and I don't want to deal with this.
And then I watch people weed. Now, you know how you weed a typical garden? You've got 3-foot-wide aisles, and you get your hoe out, and you chop away at those weeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you doing? You're cutting the top of the weed off.
Right.
You're not digging the root up.
No.
And it's going to sprout again.
Well, some of them.
Well, you cut the top off a weed, and it just says, I just had a haircut.
It depends. It depends how young is the weed, and, you know.
That's true.
And,
that's true. But a majority of them are going to sprout again.
Yes.
And then you have to go out again in another month or a couple of weeks and do it all over again. I said, this whole thing is just stupid, what we're doing. And the aisles, when you
there was a lot of dumbness in that you noticed in
gardening. Well, I hate to say it, but it is the way we're...
But you know what? You know, and I hate to interrupt you, Mel, but there's still the same thing. You can still go to books and they tell you to plant the whole packet seed and then thin.
Yep.
And you're saying, no, just plant one seed every so often, whatever, you know, 3 inches or 6 inches or whatever you need.
And that's exactly what we do. Now, go back to our 4x4. It's a box. You lay down weed fabric to line the bottom of the box. Therefore, no weeds will come up through your box. Then you fill it with a perfect growing soil.
And then the other thing I'm going to say, in an urban area, you also put the liner on the bottom of the box to mitigate contamination in the soil, like lead.
Boy, that's true. If you're in the city and people think, well, it's an empty lot, we'll put a community garden there. That soil is filled with lead from paint and from oil spills from the houses that used to be there. So square foot gardening is the only method that separates your garden growing vegetables from the existing soil. Everyone else digs up the existing soil or makes it into beds. So square foot garden's the only safe gardening method to use in a city. And I hope we could get that word out to people.
Well, while I have you here, we've got some calls. We're going to take the question was, what percentage of the of average garden soil is organic matter? And I'm glad to see that Santo, the bus driver, is one of our contestants. Santo, how are you this morning?
Life is beautiful all the time.
And what's your guess?
It's all organic. Everything's organic in the soil. It's made up of organic matter for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years.
Okay, that will be your guess. We will put you on hold. Let's go to Sandy in Blue Island. Sandy, what's your guess?
Hey, good morning, Mike. I'm going to guess 5% of organic matter.
5%? Is that all? Okay.
All right. You're in the perfect soil. That's
all right.
I'm guessing.
All right.
Hang
you stick
on,
with
Sandy.
It.
And let's go to Tristan. In Monee, Tristan, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I was going to guess 3 to 5%.
Okay. I'll tell you what.
Can we take a range like that? Or can you?
What? It's only 2 points. I'll tell you what I'm going to do because I know the answer. Oh, I just lost him. Call back.
Tristan,
call back. I accidentally let you go. Sandy. I'm going to say that you and Tristan are both winners here because they're pretty close. You know, you say something around 4%, 3%.
Well, really, 3%.
Yeah.
You could go to 4 at the most. So 3 to 5 is the correct answer, and 5 is pretty darn close.
And so because you're that close, Sandy, we're going to get you tickets to the flower show. Is that the Tristan on line 3? Okay, so I'll just leave Tristan holding there, and I'm going to put you on hold, Sandy, and each of you will get 2 tickets to the flower show.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mike.
All right, and thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. Let's see if I can do that. Yep, I got her on hold. Okay, so 3% of...
Yeah, that's all, and that's why you have to add fertilizer to your soil.
And by the way, Santo, see, it's the organic. There's other things in the soil besides organic matter. There's 3% organic matter, but then there are minerals, which are usually around 45%, and then there's air and water you have to put in there as well.
We don't consider something like sand particles or rock particles or even dirt organic. We're talking about something that was once growing and has decomposed. That's what we consider.
Yeah, when I say organic matter, anything that once was alive and
right.
is now dead.
Right.
So, but thanks for playing, Santo, and you have a great day.
Okay, you guys have a good one. Bye.
Good,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Now, so I thought we need a perfect soil to start with. So I made up my own mix. I experimented for many years, and I came up, which has been labeled Mel's Mix. And here's a simple formula. It's 1/3 peat moss, 1/3 compost. Has to be a blended compost, I'll explain that, and 1/3 coarse vermiculite. I do not like perlite, which some people, because it's cheaper, use it. Don't use perlite. So
why don't you like perlite?
Well, there's 3 or 4 different reasons. One is it floats to the top. It's white. It looks ugly. It looks unnatural.
Yeah, you're right.
It hurts your hand when you run your hand through the soil because it's sharp. And the main reason is it makes me sneeze. Okay? So I love not perlite, but vermiculite. It's sometimes a little hard to find.
Isn't there a concern with some vermiculite and asbestos?
That's a very old story, but some reporters keep bringing it up every year.
So it's a myth?
No, it's not a myth. It happened 20 or 30 years ago in a mine, and there was asbestos mined with the vermiculite. It occurred naturally, but it was a problem, and they've gotten rid of it. They closed the mine. They now inspect vermiculite. They even put on the bags asbestos-free. But the story still keeps coming up.
Fascinating.
I didn't know that.
Just
like poinsettias.
That's
yes,
right.
Yeah. So here's our mix. This is Mel's Mix, and you can buy any good potting soil, but we're not going to improve your existing soil.
I tell you what, I'm going to tease folks with this,
okay?
Because I need to break here, and in just a second, we're going to get Mel's Mix. So if you're listening in, and by the way, if you have a question for Mel Bartholomew, who is the author of Square Foot Gardening and the all-new Square Foot Gardening book, over 2 million sold, you can call us at 773-763-9278. And in just a second, you will get the Mel's Mix. So stand by with your pen and paper, your pencil and paper, or your computer, and we'll have it for you. Now, if you're like me and you talk to your plants, the most important thing you have to say is, don't embarrass me. We all want our plants to look nice, of course, but we really, really don't want them to embarrass us. That's why Chicagoland Gardening Magazine has a story in its March-April issue about orchids. Yes, we've all bought gorgeous orchids in flower only to have them embarrass us by not ever, ever blooming again. In fact, I once dropped a table on an orchid plant. Some people think it was retribution, but it was just an accident, really. Anyway, if you pick up the latest issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, you won't ever have to drop a table on an orchid plant because you will know how to get it to bloom again. And let's be honest, isn't that a much healthier way to go through life? Then there's my column on the inside back page. Some people that think that I write that way because a table was dropped on my head many years ago. But we all know that's a myth. But we all know that's a myth. There's an echo in here. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town, or get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Just because there's snow on the ground doesn't mean that you can't start thinking spring. And that snow is going away pretty fast. And a great way to do that is to mark your calendar for the annual Alsip Home and Nursery Flower and Garden Show on March 23rd and 24th. It's happening at both stores in Frankfort, Illinois and St. John, Indiana. Meet the industry pros and get the scoop on new products. There are more than 20 educational seminars ranging from landscape design to knockout roses to easy care summer bulbs to pond care to even me. I'll be there on Saturday, March 23rd at 11 a.m. And you want to go to AlsipNursery.com right now. That's A-L-S-I-P Nursery.com. Go there right now to join their A-List Preferred Customer Program, because A-List members receive double A-List points on purchases made during their flower show weekend. And there are more door prizes this year, vendors, booths, and don't forget those fabulous spring plants. Go to AlsipNursery.com to sign up for the A-List and get ready for spring. Alsip Nursery is located in Frankfort, Illinois, on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I'm very pleased to have in the studio this morning Mel Bartholomew, author of All New Square Foot Gardening. I got it. You know, we're going to get to Mel's Mix in just a second, but I've been meaning to ask you this, Mel. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, isn't this the best-selling garden book of all time?
It's not only the best-selling, I'm very pleased and proud to tell you, it is the largest-selling garden book in America ever. And this is by a...
What's the difference between best-selling and largest?
I guess the time. I guess there is no largest is the same as best-selling. No, best-selling, there must be a couple that are largest at one time or another.
Uh-huh. but I had several years back, I had Tracy DeSabato-Oust on, and, she sold 100,000 books for her The Well-Tended Perennial Garden, which is a terrific book, by the way. Sure. And that put her up in the upper echelons, but you cracked 2 million.
Yes, yeah. And it's been quite, the first book went over a million, and that took 20 years. But now the new book, the all new, because I've changed the method, I've made it even easier. And I told you before, we don't dig the existing ground anymore. We don't even use it. Now just think, if you're a gardener or a beginner, you have to go out and buy a lot of stuff to start a garden. If you don't dig up your existing soil, what tools don't you need?
Yeah.
You don't need a shovel. You don't need a hoe. You don't need a pick. I needed a pick out in Utah. You ought to see the soil out there.
Okay, you seriously have my attention. You've had my attention all day, but now.
You don't need a rake. You don't need anything. In fact, I brought one with me. The only tool you need.
And he's got his hat. No.
Is a trowel.
Okay.
A little trowel like this.
I will tell, because I'm offering that the Gardener's Edge. One of those knives, the soil knife, which would probably do the trick very nicely in your garden.
It would. I'm kind of scared, though, when you say knife. I don't want to take a knife to Mel's mix.
It's a wonderful tool, and you'll hear about that in a second. All right, so what is the mix?
The mix is 1/3 peat moss. You can buy that at any store. 1/3 coarse vermiculite. And that's sometimes hard to find, but I was just at my Home Depot out in San Diego, and they now carry it again in 2 cubic foot bags. And the last one is the most important, is 1/3, this is by volume, not by weight, 1/3 blended compost. By blended, I mean it should come from at least 5 different sources. Now, if you have a home compost pile, you already have at least 5 sources, all kinds of places and things that you're putting in there. When you buy it at the store, you have to be very careful. You might have to buy 5 different smaller bags to get a blended compost. Some will be something like barnyard manure. Another one will be compost, excuse me. All these different composts. Most of the companies are now turning out, I think because of square foot gardening, a blended compost. So they've already mixed in different things. Maybe a seaweed compost is mixed in with it. And so you have all different kinds of nutrients. Now, here's the answer to that big question. How much natural organic matter is in your existing soil, average around the country, we said 3%.
And I have to tell you that some people have written in, and some people say, well, I have one person said between 2 and 10. You know, and you're saying average soil, when you find it, because I know a lot of people amend their soil and they put compost in constantly. And I know that some people can get that rate up to 8%.
Sure.
You know?
Okay. Mel's Mix, square foot gardening, is 33%. 33.
Ah.
How much is that compared to 3? 10 times as much. And that's where all the nutrients are. And that's why we do not add fertilizer to a square foot garden.
And not at all during the growing season?
Not at all during the growing season.
Because a number of people who garden with compost say you top dress or side dress during the growing season to add some more nutrients.
Okay, here's what we do. You now have a potting soil, whatever you want to call it, Mel's Mix, that's 6 inches deep. And what I found out after doing a lot of extensive experimenting, the plants, all plants, will grow better in 6 inches of perfect soil than 12 inches of improved soil. That was the first book.
Mm-hmm.
We dug down 6 inches, and then we had 6 inches of good stuff on top of that, mixed it all up, so we had 12 inches of improved soil. But it still required you to dig. And as I went around the country, people would say, yeah, it works pretty good, but. And you know, Mike, what happens when someone says but?
But.
You know there's trouble ahead.
Exactly.
Right? It's a bumpy road. And I said, well, I've reduced the size of your garden down by 80%. He said, yeah, but it's still a lot of work digging up that 6 inches. I said, all right, back to the drawing boards. And that's when I experimented. And I went to some commercial greenhouses. And you walk in and there are benches. And they have boxes on top of their benches. And they're only 4 to 6 inches deep. And I said, how can you grow? And they said, well, we have a perfect soil to start with. And I thought, why couldn't that box in your greenhouse be put on the ground? It could, as long as it gets light. I said, could it go outside in the summer? Of course it could. And that's how I came up with the idea of, we don't have to dig up our soil anymore. We're going to start with a perfect soil. We have our own bags now. They're called Mel's Mix. They're called square foot gardening, potting soil. Sometimes people say, well, if it's a soil, you don't have any real soil in it. But if you go, it's in Home Depot, it's in Lowe's, it's in most of the nurseries. Call them up ahead. Don't drive around wasting gas looking for it. Call all those kind of stores and say, do you have Mel's Mix, the square foot gardening potting soil? And if they've got it, good, you're in set, and you just pour that into your box. And then on top of your box, you're going to put a grid. Now, if you want any of this stuff, you can go to our website. Remember, we're a nonprofit foundation. We have a store. Everything that we sell, all the money, not 2%, not 10%, but all of the money goes towards our humanitarian and our educational projects.
And I have all that information on my website, and that website of Mel's is squarefootgardening.org, and you can go there, and you can certainly just go straight to squarefootgardening.org, or you can go to my website, mikenovak.net, go to this week's show, and I have the links. We just have a minute or two left here, I also want to make sure people know that you're speaking tomorrow night.
Yes.
We mentioned that.
At Navy Pier. Come on out. It's 6:15, and the whole theme is how to put flower power into your square foot garden. And I've got two brand new gardens, one for springtime and one for fall, summer and fall, that I'm going to introduce at that show. So come on out and hear the lecture. Navy Pier, Monday night, 6:15.
Right. And the Flower and Garden Show is it's about $15, $15 to $17, depending on whether you get your tickets online or you get them in person.
Or you can get them free. From you.
From me.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, and I decided how I'm going to give away a couple more pairs because I've been kind of disappointed here. I'm looking at my Facebook page for the show, the Mike Novak Show, and I was hoping to bump over 800 likes. I actually lost one today. Look, we're down to 797. So the next two people who like me, who haven't already, and it's not fair to people who already have liked me. What can I tell you? Sometimes life isn't fair. The next two people who like the Mike Novak Show and want tickets will get tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. So how does that work as a bribe? That's exactly what I'm doing here. So sometimes you have to do it, Mel.
And let me ask people if they'll buy the book any place. You can go to our website or you can go to Amazon. You can go everywhere and buy it. It's in every bookstore. Let's get that up to 2,000,001 with your help.
All right, let's take one question before I let you go, Mel.
Okay.
And that is, I can't read it from here. Denny?
JR in Plainfield.
JR, how you doing, JR?
Good morning, Mike. I had a question for Mel. In everything, everybody's turning to heirlooms, bringing back the old,
right.
Old school.
Yep.
Better taste, better product, better.
That's all true. Yep.
Okay, well, my grandfather never grew in some artificial soil.
Uh-huh.
My grandmother, neighbor never grew in some kind of artificial soil.
This is not artificial now. This is natural. This is compost, which is the salt of the earth, and it's peat moss. These are all natural things, and vermiculite, they're all dug out of the ground. So don't think of it as unnatural.
Well, the thing is, you came back to the same thing of going to a greenhouse or a production grower and saying, started with great soil. Well, any vegetables that are grown, hothouse tomatoes, not the same taste.
That's true.
Not the same thing. And you're saying it's the same mix.
No, it's not the same mix. I came up with my own mix. I didn't use their mix. And besides that, all commercial greenhouses use fertilizer. You cannot find one that does natural organic type. By the way, Square Foot Gardening is all organic. We do not use fertilizer. And Mike, you asked before about recharging. After every square foot is harvested, like radishes will be ready in 4 weeks, you take the tops out, put them in your compost pile, you add a handful or a trowelful of new compost that you've just made, hopefully, or bought, and add that to your square foot, and that recharges that soil for the next crop.
All right. JR, thanks for the phone call. I'm actually going to take one more, and that is Susan. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Mike Novak, I love you. I met you at the tomato plant contest quite a few years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Iowa. Yes.
Yeah. You were very nice and congenial and very smart.
And I understand you're a fan of Mel?
Pardon me? Oh, yes. He's excellent. Absolutely.
Okay. That was the word I got on the street here that you wanted to say hi to Mel. And me too, I guess. All right.
You get two for one today. We're offering a twofer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Mel, you're great. My dad was a chemist, and he always, in his gardening with tomatoes, he always would use peat moss, I'm sure of that one, and a blended compost.
Good. So, okay.
I know you're good.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Susan, thank you for the phone call. Mel? Yes.
Oh, I was just going to say, you have a little dilemma here. We're at 8:03.
The first two.
All right.
The first two that came in. Wow. Ask and ye shall receive. We just got a bunch of likes on Facebook. That's great. So the first two that came in are going to get tickets to, and let me know who they are. Mel, thank you so much for coming up all this way. I hope people go to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show tomorrow night, 6:15, and hear Mel speak. And again, the topic is?
It's flower power in a square foot garden. And the new book you have in front of you is the second edition to the all-new Square Foot Gardening. This is the one that has 10 major improvements to the original system. The biggest one is it can be close to your house, and you don't have to dig up your existing soil.
That's fabulous. Mel, this is great. I'm gonna post this podcast on my website, and so people can hear all about Square Foot Gardening. And again, I hope people show up tomorrow for your talk, and you're welcome anytime here in the studio.
Thank you, Mike.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Have you ever wondered what your trees are actually worth? Trees help us in many ways. They help control stormwater runoff, save our home's energy usage, increase our home's property value, improve air quality, and reduce carbon in the atmosphere. Your trees are worth more than you may realize. So how do you find out the benefits of your particular tree provides? The National Tree Benefit Calculator is a website that allows anyone to get a better understanding of the approximate value of their trees. It's simple to use. All you need to know is the type of tree and the diameter of the trunk. After selecting your climate zone by entering your zip code or choosing from the map, you enter the tree species and diameter. Once calculated, you can see detailed benefit information about your tree. Go to treebenefits.com to calculate the value of your trees. Then invite the certified arborists at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Have you noticed that there's something going on in the food industry? It's becoming much less industrial. People all over Chicagoland, the U.S., and the world are rediscovering fresh, natural food. I'm Mike Novak, and I want you to join me at the Good Food Festival and Conference, March 14th through 16th at the UIC Forum in Chicago. There will be urban farm tours, workshops with experts in a range of fields, and exhibitors from across the country sharing the latest in sustainable food systems, public policy, and, of course, great food to enjoy. Please visit goodfoodfestivals.com to learn more about this outstanding event. You can purchase tickets online, get directions, and check out the workshop schedule and exhibitor list. Sustainable local food systems can transform our communities, our environment, and our economy. But it's up to us to get informed and get involved. I'll be speaking at the festival, and I hope to see you there. That's goodfoodfestivals.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening?
Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Better gardening begins when you have the gardener's edge. Since 1885, A.M. Leonard has delivered high-quality tools for gardeners, growers, and landscapers. A.M. Leonard's Gardener's Edge has a huge selection of gardening tools, and right now, listeners to my show can save 30% on their popular soil knife, which has 58 out of 61 five-star reviews. Linda writes, a must-have tool for every garden. I use it constantly, digging weeds, planting, sowing seeds, and cutting string for tying up plants. Garden Girl says, I have tough clay soil, and having gone through multiple trowels each season for several years, I decided it was time to look for something sturdy. This is it. I no longer even take my trowel to the garden. And right now, save 30% on the incredible soil knife from Gardener's Edge. Call 888-556-5676 during weekday business hours. 888-556-5676. And don't forget to mention me, Mike Novak, or go to GardenersEdge.com/Chicago. That's GardenersEdge.com/Chicago.
This is 820 AM WCPT Willow Springs, 92.7.
No, I didn't want that. Let's just say, how would you like to enjoy an abundance of large, healthy plants, fruits, and vegetables, to enjoy blossoms like you've never had before, and produce that tastes like it should, naturally delicious? That's the promise of Dr. Earth himself, Milo Seamus. I'm pleased to have this great company back on my show this year. Milo wants each of his customers to succeed every time and have the most healthy and beautiful garden ever possible. How? By infusing organic fertilizers and soils with beneficial soil microbes, what he calls probiotics. Go to drearth.com to see more and to find a dealer near you. Doctor Your Earth with Dr. Earth, and visit their booth at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show this week. That's booth number 431. Like I said, I hope you go over there. Say hi to Lisa for me. And that's sort of the message here on Daylight Saving Time. That's what I was feeling this morning when the alarm rang early. Why get up? Well, we were going to have Jennifer Brennan, our fifth legend on the show, but she's having parking issues, and I'm not surprised. Because people are pouring into the Chicago Flower and Garden Show this morning.
Yeah, poor lady. She sounded in a rush and everything. So hope all is well.
Well, you know, I know because I was there yesterday dealing with that. Yes, Sarah?
I just wanted to suggest that if people wanted to check out the square foot gardening techniques and methods,
Yes. Definitely
stop by the Peterson Garden Victory Today booth at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show.
That's a really good point. We're not going to talk to Jennifer today. I want you, if you're going to the Flower and Garden Show, go to booth 725. That's the Dig in Chicago, my television show with Jennifer. We're going to be doing an announcement in the next couple of weeks about our new season, and we're going to a new broadcast channel. I think I've already said it, haven't I?
You did, yes.
So we're going to the WCIU channel 26.2 U2 channel. But let's talk. We got a couple minutes about the Flower and Garden Show. And as you said, Sarah and I have both been there to see the show. And the Peterson Garden Project is one of the great gardens there at the show.
I'm going to put myself out there and say it's the best one.
You know,
and here's why. Though,
okay,
Mike,
go for it.
My justification is that, of course, there's some beautiful hardscapes with, you know, stones and fountains and fish ponds, but the Peterson Garden Project shows you how it's accessible and anybody can use these techniques in their backyard or on their patio. you know, if you don't have a huge budget, they really show you how that you can do urban gardening in our environment.
Right. And if Mel goes there, and I hope you check out that garden, Mel, the Peterson Garden Project, because it is. It's basically a community garden that they put in the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. And it's got the raised beds and your methods and square foot gardening. And my congratulations to LaManda and Alexandra and all the folks at Peterson Garden Project, because that's really a cool garden. There are a number of them that, though, that are really fun. I think it's a really good show. I was going to tell Jennifer Brennan, my feeling is I'm going to give it like A-, B-plus for the show. I think it's just getting better and better and better, the show. And I think this year they crossed the threshold, and I think it the thing just looks fabulous.
Oh, and I have to say, please also stop by the kids area from noon to 3 during the week and noon to 5 on the weekends, and visit the insect petting zoo.
That's right. You've got those
University
great
of
insects.
Illinois Extension.
Yeah.
Master Gardeners. You can touch a rosy-haired tarantula, Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
I've done that. I've held those. I've been the instructor, the insect instructor at the insect petting zoo. And it's the coolest thing to let the tarantula climb over your hand.
I'm not quite there yet, but me and the millipede are cool.
And of course, at the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, they've got the Garden Gourmet. Mariano's Fresh Market is presenting culinary demonstrations all week long. There are seminars and workshops. Like we said, Mel Bartholomew is going to be speaking tomorrow night at 6:15. They've got the Marketplace. Go to booth 725 for Dig in Chicago, but there's all kinds of other booths. As you said, kids' activities. There's tablescapes, the Art of Floral exhibit. So it's just a fabulous way to spend an afternoon or a morning. So go to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. And I guess we're done here. So it's pretty much at this point we say go green or
go home.